All right, Billy Cunningham, the great American, and John Boehner, generally my friend and yours, good friend of Steve Shabbat, is taking to task conservatives, many of whom I think are conservative, I think about Steve Shabbat, for maybe not supporting the budget deal. So I put a call in to the maestro himself. Steve Shabbat, welcome to the Bill Cunningham Show.
Hey, Bill, thank you. It's great to be with you and your listeners.
I see you're live in Washington. Is that correct?
I am. I'm in my office right across the street from the Capitol building.
Now, do you support Boehner or not?
Well, I support him. I don't necessarily support what he said. I don't know that it's particularly helpful to bash some of the groups that traditionally have been recognized as the measure of conservatism in this country, like the Club for Growth and Freedom Works and Heritage Action, Americans for Prosperity. Those are groups that I tend to align myself with and measure my voting record by, because I'm a conservative. I understand John's frustration, and I'm not going to criticize him for that frustration, but I don't necessarily agree with his point there.
When you say Boehner's kind of a party guy, like a Washington insider, as opposed to be part of a movement, I see you as part of a movement, conservatives, Club for Growth, those kind of guys. I don't see Boehner that way. I see him as an institutionalist.
Well, I think if you look at his voting record prior to becoming speaker, I think it matches up pretty well with real conservatives like myself. When you're Speaker of the House, you have a different job. You're the Speaker of the whole House, including the Democrats. And so I think his responsibilities are different, and so I'm not going to criticize him for doing that. But, I mean, clearly his voting record now is perhaps different from then, but his job's different.
Well, according to media reports, the legislation that you boys are going to vote on very soon provides $63 billion in sequester relief, which means more spending, which is split evenly between defense and non-defense. This is offset by targeted spending cuts and non-tax revenues of $85 billion, which is increasing fees, things of that character, plus adjusting the contribution of federal employees. So will Steve Shabbat stand with Boehner or stand with the Club for Growth?
Well, I'm not standing with either. I'm standing with the people of the 1st Congressional District of Ohio who have elected me to that position. And I'm still in the process of reading all the fine print of the deal. I have certainly impressions, and I'll be happy to share those. But I think we all remember Nancy Pelosi famously saying, "We've got to pass the bill to find out what's in it." Now, she was referring to Obamacare then, but I think that applies to every bill. I think it's our responsibility to read these things. And this deal just broke on the news last night. We just had a conference a few hours ago when we were told about it, and I'm just going over the paperwork right now. I do have some concerns, and one of my principal concerns is that it trades higher spending today or over the next 2 years for promises of future spending cuts, and I think that's seldom a good idea. We've got these spending cuts right now under the sequester signed into law, and that's over a 10-year period of time, so I don't really like delaying any of those. Now, I do think that we probably cut too much out of our defense, and I would like to see, especially with our commitments around the world, especially, I think, unfortunately, with this president, who I don't think is a particularly good commander-in-chief, and I think has put us in a dangerous situation around the world in a number of instances. I think, in other words, we do need to support our military more. This program basically gives additional spending, half to our military, and then half to domestic programs. And I think a lot of our domestic programs are already bloated right now and bringing this country down if we don't make some cuts there. So, but it is a, this was a compromise bill, and you had I think most people would describe as a conservative Republican, Paul Ryan, who's the head of the Budget Committee.
Yeah, he's one of our guys.
He is one of our guys. And then Patty Murray, who's...
She's not one of our guys.
No, not one of our guys from the left, but she's the head of the Finance or the Budget Committee over in the Senate side. And so it is a compromise. And Obama supports it. Now, that's you and me something there. So I am concerned about it, Bill, but at this point, I'm reserving my judgment until I finish reading the bill.
Don't you have to vote on that, like, by Friday or something? by tomorrow? I mean,
they're talking about maybe tomorrow, maybe Friday.
So you got to vote on this thing, which is over the next 10 years, trillions of dollars. You got to vote on it like tomorrow.
Right. And of course, ideally, the agreement would have been reached some time ago, so we had more time. The fact is, because of Christmas and the holidays, Congress is going to go out of session at the end of this week until January. And the funding for the government, the CR, and that funding depends upon a budget like this, that ends on January 15th, and then we have a debt ceiling limit that ends February 7th. And this doesn't even address the debt ceiling at all. So clearly, I see some real problems with this, but in its defense, I mean, it does avoid a shutdown, which I think most people would prefer not to have to go through that again. It decreases, under the terms of this, I understand, it decreases spending over the next 10 years by an additional $28 billion, which that sounds like
nothing,
a lot of money, but it's kind of a drop in the bucket over 10 years. And it does that kind of creatively by extending the 10-year period two additional years. So a lot of the additional spending is way out in the future. And current Congresses cannot bind future Congresses. I mean, if, let's say, Nancy Pelosi became Speaker again in the election cycle, and Harry Reid's still controlling it, you still got Obama in the White House, it's going to be Katie bar the door. They're going to raise spending left and right. Now, they probably would undo this then anyway, to be fair.
Sure they would.
Yeah. So,
and so I glean from your comments as a LaSalle High School boy that you're leaning against voting for this thing because, and Boehner would give you a pass because he'll get enough Democrats. Will you get a majority of the majority?
Well, typically what happens a lot of times in these things, Bill, is when you get, you know, everybody, one of these kumbaya moments where everybody jumps in, you know, it's kind of a moderate, mushy middle thing where a number of Republicans will vote for it, a number of Democrats will vote for it, and conservatives like myself, will ultimately not like it and will vote against it, but you'll even have folks on the left, further on the left, that vote against it for entirely different reasons than I'm voting against it. I think it spends too much, and they're going to think it doesn't spend enough. But with Obama's support, I'm guessing they're going to get a fair number of Democrats on board. But I don't know. I mean, this has all happened, you know, within the last few hours, and I'm, as I say, reserving my judgment, but there's a lot of things I do not like in this at all.
All right, now, you're there in the bowels of the Congress, and Boehner filed for re-election about 3 or 4 days ago. Are you running for re-election?
Well, I haven't filed anything yet, Bill, but I'm certainly intending to. I haven't made any announcement one way or the other, but it would be my inclination to do so, assuming that the people of the 1st District of Ohio will have me again.
What about Boehner? There were rumors he was not going to run again and hang him up. Have you heard that?
Well, I'd heard rumors about that, but I never really believed him. I think, I always thought he probably would run again. And again, Bill, I think he's been a good speaker. It's a difficult job, and with some of the more conservative groups, that maybe gets me in trouble even saying that. But I really do think, he's a good guy. His instincts are conservative. But he's got to deal with Obama, and he's got to deal with Harry Reid, and that's got to be and with Nancy Pelosi. I mean, those are the people that he deals with on a regular basis. I mean, that would drive anybody crazy.
Let me ask you this: this is in the social media today. Do you know what a selfie is?
I learned that when I saw it was the word of the year, but I didn't know prior to that. It's like when you take a picture of yourself.
Now, many years ago, Bill Clinton came out of the Reagan funeral kind of laughing. And
I remember that.
And yesterday, Obama, just before his eulogy of Nelson Mandela, was laughing, giggling, and taking a selfie. And I'm thinking to myself, could you imagine if George Bush had gone to the funeral of Nelson Mandela in Johannesburg, and just before he spoke, he's laughing, playing grab ass, and taking selfies, what the media would have done to George Bush?
Oh, it's a double standard, and he would have been crucified for it. No question about that. But then look, Robert Byrd, who was the head of the Senate Democrats for years, was a former member of the Ku Klux Klan. and basically got away with it. I mean, Joe Biden has said some of the dumbest things that any politician in history has ever said, and they get completely ignored, except on perhaps your show and on the Fox News Network. And the public oftentimes isn't even aware that it happened. It goes into the ether. So I think you're absolutely right, and there's a double standard.
I give you the example. Mitt Romney, during the campaign, talked about a binders full of women. When asked whether or not women would be in his cabinet, he said, "I got binders full of women." The media made that a huge deal. But a few days ago, your good friend Joe Biden was in Japan. And this is like on Thursday or Friday of last week, when speaking to a woman's group, asked them, "Do your husbands mind that you work?" And so and that wasn't, except in Fox News, it didn't get out at all.
Yeah, as outrageous as that is, I hadn't even heard it. So that's a good example of basically a lot in the mainstream press just covering up what happens. Unless it's a conservative that does it, and then it's going to get a heck of a lot of coverage.
What if Dick Cheney had said, "Hey, do your husbands mind if you ladies work?" I'm thinking the war on women. But the media, I'm watching this, and you got Obama. Obama makes Jimmy Carter look like Abraham Lincoln. A couple days ago, you know, Obama's had illegal immigrants from his family from Kenya in this country for a lot of years. He has an uncle who's an illegal alien living in Massachusetts who's been there for a long time.
Right.
And so the illegal alien uncle of President Barack Hussein Obama got a DUI. The guy's got, he's a drunk, he's got lots of DUI. He's on public assistance, and he's an illegal immigrant, illegal alien, who's been here for like 35 years and collecting government benefits for three decades. He gets a DUI 3 or 4 days ago, so the name surfaces again in the media. And Obama's Jay Carney said during the campaign, Obama doesn't know that guy. It's an uncle he never met, never talked to him for the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But now it comes out that President Obama, when he was in Harvard, lived with him for 8 months. They were together for 8 months. He lived in his home. And so Jay Carney on Thursday of last week talked about, well, we want to correct something for the record. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. How does this guy lie, Obama, about his mother dying, not having health insurance, which was a lie when he said it, but he said it to help pass his Obamacare, even though it was a complete falsehood. Jack Welch, in October of 2012, said, wait a minute, these employment numbers don't make any sense. And the media crucified Jack Welch of GE for questioning the government. Now it's come out the Census Bureau cooked the books in October of 2012 to help Obama get elected. He lies about his uncle, lies about his dying mother. The Census Bureau lies about the employment numbers in October of 2012, and now Obama's uncle, it's all a lie, and now he's taking selfies and laughing at Nelson Mandela's funeral, and now he's getting ready when he's back home now. Next week he's going to Hawaii for a two-week vacation, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, this guy makes Jimmy Carter look like Abraham Lincoln. When will we figure out the emperor has no clothes?
Well, you know, Bill, that's a lot to respond to, but let me just say this. I think you're absolutely right. He's been getting away with it with the mainstream press for years now. However, he made a huge mistake when he talked about something that really is very important to the American people, and that's their health care. And he went right up to the mic time and time again and said, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it, period. And if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, period. Said it over and over again, and that turns out to be
lie.
Absolutely not true. And if you look at the polls, I saw these today, the question, do you believe President Obama is credible, believable? It's come down into the 30s now, and there are almost twice as many people who are now saying he's not believable than he is. So I think it is catching up with him, but for a long time, you're right. I think he just skated above it all.
You see, when Bush said weapons of mass destruction, it wasn't a lie because everybody believed that, including Hillary Clinton.
Right.
He didn't lie.
That's exactly right. So did John Kerry. I mean,
all of them. They voted for it. They said, let's go to her. But, you know, Clinton, when he said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Monica Lewinsky, not one time, he knew that was a lie. And when Obama said this, He knows it's a lie because in 2010, his administration put in the CFR, Code of Federal Regulations, a statement that millions of Americans would lose their health insurance. And so he knew at the time he said it, but he said it to get elected. He lied about his dying mother to get elected. He lied about the employment numbers in October of 2012 to get elected. He lied about his illegal alien drunken uncle to get elected. And so the motivation from the left for the lie is, I've heard the left, like Ellis and other congressmen, say, you know what? He's lying for a good purpose. Well, wait a minute. He's lying to get elected. And that's different. And now people are figuring out something you and I have been saying for a while. That guy's a liar. If a guy lies about his dying mother, if a guy lies about his drunken uncle, if a guy is at a solemn state funeral laughing and taking selfies, there's no there. There's nothing there except the ability to give a speech. If he lets his signature achievement, so to speak, Obamacare, go into law with no substance, no structure, no administration, no website, no rules written, there's no there. I read an article in Newswire, Time Magazine last month, about all these waivers that were issued based upon money given to Obama. You pay the bus company, you get the fare. You get waivers if you pay money. If you're a regular schlep, you get nothing. If a white Republican conservative had lied about his dying mother, lied about his uncle, lied about employment numbers, took selfies at Nelson Mandela's funeral, played golf 161 times, goes on vacation, and lies about your health care, he would be impeached. But because he's a black liberal Democrat, if you criticize him, you're a racist. Shut the hell up.
Well, clearly the American people deserve better. And I guess maybe welcome to Chicago, Bill. He grew up in that environment up there. They're known for, corruption and a whole range of things, at least at the governmental level. I think the people of Chicago were fine, but they've been burdened with political leadership that's been corrupt for a long time, and that's what he grew up in and got away with there, and it was accepted. And unfortunately, he was able to pull the wool over the American people's eyes with the help of a lot in the mainstream press, and the American people reelected him. So, we're stuck with him for the next 3 years. We're trying, and that's why, Paul Ryan and John Boehner and our leadership are trying to do what they can. That's why this thing isn't a perfect deal. But I'm telling you, Obama agreeing with this thing, to me, says a lot of things. And I really can't... it'd be hard to add or improve on what you just said, Bill, all those things.
It's true.
Yeah.
And everything I said true.
I don't have any. You maybe are a little tougher in tone than an elected official or a politician by the nature of their job has to be. Our roles are a little different, but I think you do it so well. That's why people have listened to you for many years on both sides, even liberals. I listen to the guy, he's entertaining. I never agree with him, but I listen to him because he's a really interesting guy.
Lastly, Steve Chabot, you're a politician, been there 20 years or so. For personal political benefit, would you lie about your dying mother?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't lie about my living mother,
he does around. He does it.
One of the greatest ladies in my life, other than my wife and my daughter. And
I watch this, and I think about the memories of my mother that died 3 or 4 years ago. It was awful. It was sad. It was a celebration of her life. The odds of me lying about my mother to get personal political benefit would be below zero. To me, that is sacred. It's the woman who gave me life.
Yeah,
but when he lied about Ann Dunham and how she died without insurance, when the facts indicate just the opposite and he knew the facts were different, is despicable.
Yeah, and he's generally gotten away with it. But again, that's
why
this is an example of why his credibility, people actually believe in the President of the United States. Generally, even if we don't agree with them, we don't think that they're out and out. They'll lie to you, but that's why he's down in the 30s now. He's down in George Bush country, not on credibility, but on, after Katrina and when Iraq was at its least popular. That's where he's at now, and a lot of it just has to do with the fact that he hasn't been straight with the American people, Bill.
Hopefully, Steve Chabot will have a great time in Hawaii the next 2 weeks.
Well, it's his state, and it's the one state I've never been to, but,
we'll see. Steve Chabot, you're a great American. Give my best to Tommy Andrews, will you, who works for Boehner?
Will do. Tell him you said nice things about his boss.
Tell them and tell them I need some ribs.
All right, sounds good.
I'll
hey,
you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, you're
Take
the
care.
Best. You're
Have
the
a
best.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. All right, let's continue with more coming up at 107. Is Bill Donahue, the president of Catholic League. What about Frank Francis, the Pope? What about that? Billy Cunningham, 700 WLW.